Good morning and welcome to worship. It's good to see you here this morning. You will have spotted that Alison is not reading the intimations today. Elaine is here in her place. Elaine.
Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. The church walking group. The next church walk takes place this afternoon and we'll be visiting Lochore Meadows with the usual coffee stop. Meet in the Cairnhill Church car park at 2 p.m. Kirk session. There'll be a special Kirk session meeting on Zoom on Tuesday the 11th of June at 8:15 p.m. Joining details are available from the session clerks. Then Holy Communion, we'll celebrate Communion next Sunday, Sunday the 16th of June. And Catch will be in church on the 23rd of June, when the end of session prize giving will take place. There'll also be strawberries and ice cream at the end of the service on that day. A cycling club. The next C4 outing is next Saturday, the 22nd of June. Well, that's not next Saturday, is it? When we will visit Strathmore, including Meagle. Speak to Derek on 882190 for more information. Church newsletter. We plan to issue a late summer newsletter to the parish towards the end of August. Please think about making a contribution to this. Anything that might be of interest to our readers or the community. The deadline for receipt of content is 11th of August. If you have anything, email Derek at cairnhillchurch.org.uk. Before we look at the order of service, I just want to say a big thank you to everyone who made crafts, donated chocolate, and braved the cold wind on the stall at the gala yesterday. We raised an amazing £265.50. The other thing some people may have noticed, there was a jacket left after the service last week. If anybody has heard of anybody that's left one, we've got it here. So now a quick look at the order of service. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. We are here to worship Almighty God. So let's begin our service by singing hymn number 181, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Thank you.
Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive our gifts. Bless us in our giving and our gifts in their use, and all to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Marian is now going to lead us in our prayers.
Let us pray. Loving God, meet with us afresh today and open our eyes to see you, our ears to hear you, our minds to know you, and our hearts to love you, so we may glimpse a little more of your glory and our lives sing your praises in joyful worship. Lord, we come to you hesitantly, overwhelmed by your greatness, yet you welcome us with arms outstretched. We come guiltily, crushed by a sense of failure, yet you pick us up and wash us clean. We come uncertainly, our faith weak and wavering, yet you are always close, eager to bless us and lead us forward. So we come, joyfully, gratefully, reverently, hungry to worship you, and once more you are here, waiting to surprise us with the wonder of your grace. Receive our praise in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 553, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. In setting the scene for today's readings, we need to remember what we read last week. We had two stories from Mark's Gospel about Jesus and the Sabbath. It was about his obedience to the law. Between the two stories we read last week and our New Testament reading today, we are told about Jesus' growing popularity. This is first in Galilee, and then as word spreads about him, people from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and across the Jordan, as well as Tyre and Sidon, are seeking him out. And of course, what that says is people are coming from north, south, east, and west. Jesus' growing fame as a healer is causing problems. He can't even speak to the crowd without getting into a boat and using it as a kind of pulpit. We are told that then Jesus goes up on a mountainside and takes a very specific few folk with him. And he appoints the 12 disciples. Some have already been called by Jesus. Simon and his brother Andrew, along with James and John, have left their nets and they have become followers of Jesus. But now he sets apart the 12. There is a tendency to think that Jesus went around with 12 people. And actually, that's not a correct picture. If you read the beginning of the book of Acts, you'll find there that the choice of someone to replace Judas was someone who had been with them from the beginning. So there are those who are disciples, but not one of the 12. And then there are the women. If you read through the gospel, you'll find that there are a group of women, sometimes more, sometimes less, it depended. But they were as constant as the 12 men named, and if we're being honest, sometimes more faithful. And then there is a greater crowd, people who have said in one moment that they are disciples, but then when things get difficult, they drift away. There is a looser group associated with Jesus. But beyond that is the crowd. Those who seek out Jesus are often wanting something from him. Quite obviously, those who sought healing. Those who wanted demons cast out and so on and so forth. They want Jesus to be who they think he is. Again and again in the Gospels, we have Jesus telling people, don't say who I am. Even when evil spirits are cast out and they declare who Jesus is, he tells them to be quiet. And all of that seems counterintuitive. If you want to gather people, if you want people to hear you, surely you want folk to say things. What is it that Jesus has about him that wants to avoid that proclamation? And perhaps it is because of his fame. Fame is not always a good thing. Fans can be very demanding. The crowd want Jesus to fulfill their understanding of what God's anointed leader should be. They want to take him and make him their kind of king. And of course, fans are fickle creatures. Very often their devotion is dependent upon success as they define success. Fame and fortune feeds into certain human traits that we all have. Fame and fortune can be things that drive us or control us. We may regard these as the gods of our Western society, but they have a long history of false gods across many societies and many places and many times. Jesus avoids all of that. He is an enigma. In our reading today, we find Jesus' family, friends, and foes. And they're all asking the question, who is Jesus? That's the big question. But the question at the end of our New Testament reading that is asked, or the question that's answered, rather, is who are we? So we're going to read now from the book of Psalms and from Mark's Gospel. And Irene is going to read for us.
Let us hear the word of God. The first reading this morning is from Psalm 138, verses 1 to 8. I will praise you. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly embodied me. Lord, may the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Through the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Often lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. The second reading today is from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35, Judgments on Jesus. Then Jesus entered a house. Again, a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went out to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. The teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons. So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter. But whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has impure spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Who are my mothers and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in the circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and my sister and my mother. Amen.
We sing now hymn number 692. Jesus puts this song into our hearts.
It's a song of joy, oh, and take away.
so you know, George had hold of the tempo button, and he was, I thought he accelerated it quite fast the first time. I thought, how fast are we going to be singing that at the end? Well done, George. During the last week, I'm pretty sure that we've all noticed how much has been said about the 80th anniversary of the D-Day landings. I suspect that some of the desire to mark an 80th anniversary is because there are now so few left who were there in 1944 that are still alive and able to take part. We are living through those few short years when memory will become history. If you've read and heard and watched news interviews, these men and women in their late 90s, and some of them over 100, have universally declared that they were not heroes. They talk about the loss that they still feel. The reason for being at such an anniversary is not about their own honour, but about the honour of others. And one or two of them have said the only heroes are the ones who didn't get home, and we are not heroes. Later this month will be the 110th anniversary of the event that many regard as the trigger for the First World War, the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand and his wife. The Great War, as it was known, came to be known as the First World War. It was known as the Great War because people said that it was the war to end all wars. Surely we would never do that again. And of course, the Second World War was the reminder of human frailty. And the world is still a fragile place. The real heroes or heroines are those who deny the title. They are the people who live out what they know to be right in very difficult times. There are still those who would impose their will on others and claim that they are the heroes of this time. In the hellish reality of war, the heroes are those who retain their humanity and seek to do what is right in the worst of places. In Psalm 138, one of the psalms attributed to David, we read, "I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise." This seems a very strange statement to be in the Bible, since the Bible is very clear. There is only one God. But of course, there have always been other gods. We may not make these gods out of wood and metal in our day, but we know that power, wealth, fame, influence can all be gods that are worshipped. Selfish self-interest in an extreme form, when people rise to positions of power, lead to the self-belief of the dictator. They become a kind of superhero in their own eyes. They expect to be worshipped. Caesar may have been explicit in claiming that he was a god, as a number of Caesars did. But present-day leaders may not use the same words, but they expect the same things. As we know, actions speak louder than words. If we look back to the 20th century, Hitler certainly believed in himself and behaved no differently from the worst of the Roman emperors. And in our present time, we have people like President Putin of Russia, who is in no doubt that he is right in everything that he thinks, says, and does. There are always those who will worship at the seat of power. Some because they believe in that person. Some because they reflect in themselves that great desire for power and influence and believe that it washes off that person that they worship, for want of a better word. And some for their own selfish motives. In truth, there is only one man on this earth who had the right to claim he was God, and he very specifically did not do so. Those who look to Jesus are to be like him. In that great hymn of praise in Philippians chapter 2, we are reminded that we are to be Christ-like. And there it says of Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. It is worth our remembering that Jesus understands, because he in his humanity faced the same temptations as any other human being. And maybe more so because he did have a real choice to shape his life as he wanted. He had the power to choose. Jesus very often uses the words of the Psalms to express himself. And perhaps we could say that Jesus in his humanity is the perfect expression of Psalm 138. He is absolutely true to God the Father. In our reading, we have Jesus returning from the mountainside where he has chosen disciples. He goes back to where the crowds are and he cannot move. Here in Galilee, he's the local man making a bit of a stir. And the big question is, who is Jesus? Well, there are those who know him best. And they've decided, probably generously in their own minds, that he is out of his mind, that he's mad. Those who believe they know better because they are the great and the good, the people who know God through God's law, they know better and believe that he is evil. I suspect we might recognize the family reaction, especially if we have grown up in a town or village where the family has been for generations. If I were to claim any kind of greatness in the town where I grew up, the phrase that would be used would be, "Aye, we kent your feyther." And in a sense, that's what's happening. His family are going, "Really? This is going to create a riot. The man must be out of his mind." Which is a reminder of Jesus' very real humanity for his family, those who knew him best. The teachers of the law are worried enough to travel from Jerusalem to Galilee to check out what Jesus is doing in Galilee. He's created a stir in Judea and he's gone back to Galilee. They don't want some kind of uprising. He's already challenged their understanding of the law. And knowing that they are right and Jesus is wrong, they come to a conclusion that many in power do. Because if you're in power, you know that you're right. So anybody who disagrees with you is obviously wrong. So for the teachers of the law, if Jesus is doing anything, it must be because be because he has an evil spirit. By the prince of demons, Beelzebul. Now, Jesus easily points out the foolishness of believing that power will divide itself. They know, the people know, that a power divided is a power weakened. But Jesus then goes on to warn those who must know that good comes from God, that to call the goodness of God evil is an attack upon the Holy Spirit. In that passage, Jesus does not defend himself. In fact, you'd be hard pushed to find a place where Jesus is self-defensive. But he will not have the Spirit of God called evil. And there is a warning in there, and that warning is to those who know best. This isn't a kind of general warning for the general public. This is addressing those who should have known. And the warning stands. We who follow Jesus, who say that he is our pattern of living, he is the very source of our being. Some people think that we are mad to believe. And that, I suppose, is the generous view. In our society, there are greater gods of power and wealth and self-interest. And others who believe that there is no God but still worship false gods think that we must be evil. You only need to read the letters in the newspaper from some who say, who will claim that every evil on this world comes from what they class as religion. So any good we do is tainted. And there in the story, Jesus is interrupted. We know why his family are there, because it's written as a kind of introduction to that passage. But the people simply say, your family's outside looking for you. And in there, Jesus turns the question round. The people are saying, who do you think you are? And Jesus says, the bigger question is, who are you? And what Jesus says is that we are family. Our identity is inextricably linked to Jesus. And so God is Father, and we live by the Holy Spirit. We may look at the church and think, well, you're a guy awkward family. But that's family life. Jesus says that we are intimately related to him. Who are we? We are his brother, his sister, his mother. The quotation that I put below the title for this talk is from a Scottish theologian, F.F. Bruce. He says, God bestows his blessings without discrimination. The followers of Jesus are children of God, and they should manifest the family likeness by doing good to all, even to those who deserve the opposite. We are God's family because Jesus says so. Amen. So, brother, sister, let me serve you. Hymn number 694. Prayers for others. Marian.
There are so many issues in the world today that it's impossible to include everything in one prayer. So I'm asking you to do the work for me and pray for those issues that are important to you. I will provide a suggestion followed by a short silence, after which you can have your own prayer. Let us pray. Think of our suffering world with its many raging conflicts and ask God to bring peace and hope. Think of the many issues affecting people both at home or abroad, such as hunger, poverty, global warming, persecution. Ask God to have mercy on all that suffer. Think of our own nation with the impending election and ask God to grant our politicians wisdom and compassion. Think of an area of the church's life that frustrates or disappoints you, and ask God to give you peace and hope. Think of someone for whom you are concerned, maybe someone who is ill or in need, and ask God to give them comfort and strength. Think of an area of your life that is causing you some concern and ask God to give you wisdom. Perhaps it's a challenge you're facing or a time of uncertainty. Ask God to grant you wisdom, peace, and strength. Think of a part of your life that is a cause of great joy and ask God to share it with you. The Lord hears our prayers. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You may wonder why you've got a peculiar minister in the pulpit, and some of my problems are with the people trying to explain things to me from the gallery, usually because I've missed something, or not switched my microphone on, or what. And I was being flashed a message from the gallery. Yesterday, there was a big puzzle at the gala, and I tried to find the answer, and I couldn't find it. And I inadvertently paid someone a big compliment because I said that Marion was probably a lot younger than me because she's got a big birthday this week. She's going to kill me for this. So, Marion has a big birthday on Wednesday?
No, it was last Wednesday.
It was last Wednesday, was it? Ah, right, you see, it was, all I could see was this, the bit in the middle. The rest was too pale. So you know who's shocked you. The trainee up there. It's always good not to blame me. So happy birthday since it passed, because the folk in guiding were, I'm sure, and do you know, and who knows? So it's a very embarrassing place to be in Kearney Hill Church. So congratulations, Marion. I'll get killed for this. But it's okay, because we're family. We've just discovered that, haven't we? Well, maybe not just discovered it. But we do belong to one faith, one church, one Lord, which we're going to sing as our final hymn, hymn number 511, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided.
Oh,
to love and to serve as brother, sister, mother of our Lord, as he proclaimed. Go now with the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.